Okay, good morning. Welcome back to our Shemes HaLashon class learning. We are learning Lilui Nishmas, Tzvi Gershom Ben Yol V'chana Lavasham, Meiz Neshama Hava continuously in the merit of our Torah, Shos Refuah Per Bracha V'gal Basra Chalgeta. And with your permission, today is my maternal grandfather's Yortzeit, Yitzchak Ben Moshe Alav Hasham. I was only 3 years old, 4 years old when he was Nifter. He died very, very suddenly. My mom says she just took him for, he was a Holocaust survivor who lost his wife and first child in the war. Then he rebuilt. He was not even 70, and she took him for a new suit to the tailor for Pesach, and then he had a brain aneurysm, and he was nifter. And she said he suffered so much through the Holocaust. He was in 7 camps from Poland, and she said he died before he was able to have any, enjoy seeing his grandchildren. So is Neshama Shev and Aliyah, and I thank you for letting me dedicate the class to Aliyah Neshama as well as your father. Zichron al Vracha. Okay, we are on page Yitzchak by Moshe. We are on page 164. Okay, so let us continue with our meaningful learning in this very important class. Hashem should help us. Parak Yud Gimel. Look how much progress we've made. Parak Yud Gimel. Baruch Hashem. Look at that. It's amazing. Wow. Okay. So there's Perek Yud Dalet Prakim, and we're starting Perek Yud Gimel. So let's go. Perek Yud Gimel. Zeruz Lahachzakas HaTorah. One should be Mizareis, have alacrity to strengthen themselves in Torah. Why? Because strengthening yourself in Torah helps all realms of Avodas Hashem. So if a person strengthens themselves in general in Torah, bless you, then obviously you're going to be Mechazik in Shmiras HaLashon, because having Torah infiltrate your life will affect every area. Hine yadua lakol, behold, it is known to all. Masha Amri Chazal, what the Gemara says in Maseches Ksubos al Pasuk, quoting a Pasuk from Yeshayahu, I'm at the top of page 164. Tal oros talacha. So if you look in the English, please, which I did, your dew is the dew of light. There's a footnote, please look at the bottom, 39. This pasuk is discussing bringing the dead back to life. So this is talking about Tchias HaMeisim. Refers to Torah, as the Torah compares itself to dew in the beginning of Parshas Hazinut. Yazinu Shemayim Vatabero, Tishma Ha'aretz Imrei Fi Arov Katar Lichi Tizal Katal Imrasi. May my teachings drip like dew, Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end of his life. So dew is Torah. So dew refers to Torah. Torah brings people back to life. That's how the Gemara expands upon this pasuk, Tal Aros Talacha. So the Gemara says, Kol Mishi Yesh Biyado Or Torah. It's not just to have Torah, but it's to have the light of Torah. Just like if you're in the pitch black, light brightens things. So too, Torah brightens a person's entire existence and the whole world. Or Torah mechayehu l'tchias hameisim. The light of Torah will give him life. Excuse me. At the time of the resurrection of the dead. V'chol misha ein biyodo or Torah. But anyone who does not have in his hand the light of Torah, ein or Torah mechayehu. The light of Torah. Thank you. The light of Torah will not bring him back to life. So that's a very sobering statement. And the Gemara is saying here that if a person acquires or strives to acquire and toils in Torah in this world, specifically in the light of Torah, and then a time of bias kol tzedek, in the end of days, at the time of the resurrection of the dead, that's the bracha that you make when you go to a beis hachayim, when you haven't been to a cemetery for a certain period of time, I think it's for over 30 days, then you make the bracha of mechayeh hameisim. The person has Torah, they will be brought back to life. Umikol makom, but in any event, mas kinan sham, means the conclusion of the Gemara is, Dafilu Ame Haaretz, even the Ame Haaretz, look at this, She'ein, but on Ame Haaretz is usually translated as an ignoramus, She'ein, where am I up to, She'ein Behem or Torah, that does not have the light of Torah, Gam Ken Ya'amdu L'Tchia, they too will be brought upwards or brought back to life, Bishchus Hachzaka Satorah, for what? What is that? Strengthening or holding up Torah, which I just want to see how it's translated into the English. Oh, in the merit of their support of Torah. So it's very, very interesting. I didn't bring my Mishkan book. But in this week's Parsha, these Parshios, Truma and Tetzava, so I specifically did not go back to the Big Day Kuhuna, which is Parshas Tetzava, even though we could have, because I think we discuss it every year. We talk about the Me'il, which is this coming week's Parsha, the turquoise blue cloak of the Kohen Gadol with the bells and the pomegranates, and I do have my Mishkan book usually, times of speech, times of silence, and the Gemara specifically says that the Me'il is Mechaper for sins of speech, which is representing the bells. But there is something else that relates to this specific Nakuda, and it's interesting because it's a word of the Chafetz Chaim. The Aron Kodesh, the Holy Ark, which sat in the Kodesh HaKadashim, which we read about in the beginning of last week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma, it's the first one of the Kelim that is enumerated in the Parsha, which teaches us that Torah is of primary importance, comes before all the other Kelim. It totally represents Torah. Everything in the Holy Ark represents Torah. First of all, the Luchos went inside. The Torah itself went inside. The three boxes represented Talmud Chacham, whose inside must be like his outside. The Zer Sahav, the golden diadem around the rim, represents, as Rashi, Keser Torah. The whole structure, there's a beautiful Kliyaka which talks about it, the Kruvim represent Torah. The whole structure of the Aron represent Torah. So you have, this is in the towards the beginning of Perachav Hei, in last week's Parsha, the Aron begins Perachav Hei Pasuk Yod or Yod Aleph. So you have the Badim, Laseis Baham Esa'ar, and you have these two wooden staves that are covered in gold, and they go into the four rings. There are four rings, and the staves go in. So unlike the other Kelim, the Mizbech HaZahav, Mizbech HaNechoshes, and the Shulchan, when they are at rest, the staves come out. The Badim of the Aron never come out. Layasur Mimene Rashes are never allowed to come out. So the Chafetz Chayim actually, okay, the same Chafetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Schusi Al Genaleinu, the Chafetz Chaim teaches how do those staves represent Torah. What does that represent? So exactly this idea, those who uphold Torah. So the Aron itself represents the Aron, it holds the Torah. The Zer Zahav is the Keser Torah. The gold and the wood represent a Torah scholar. Rav Shamsham Falhirsch says wood represents the tree-like capacity of a human being for growth. Just like a tree goes, a person must grow. Gold, says Rav Hirsch, represents purity. So a Jew must be pure, but a Jew must also have tree-like capacity for growth. The minute you stop growing, you're proverbially not alive anymore. Might be physically alive, but you're spiritually. The minute you're stagnant, a tree must grow. A person grows. That's the wood, the middle box. The gold is the purity. The Zer Zahav, even the measurements of the Aron, says the Kliyakar, so beautifully represent Torah. It's 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5. So there's three measurements. There's the height, the width, and the depth. So the Kliyakar says, why are they all broken measurements? Because a Talmud Chacham should always see himself as incomplete. They're not called measurements. All the Kelim in the Mishkan even have different measurements. It's just incredible. So the Aron represents Torah, as we have seen from many, many illustrations that I just spoke about. What about the Badim? So the Chafetz Chaim says those are the supporters of Torah. Lo yasur mimena, they should never be removed. A supporter of Torah, though it might be Yisachar Zvulun partnership. Yisachar is the one who sits and learns. The Zvulun is the one who has to go to commerce in his ships, and he has to rejoice when he goes out. But he is the supporter of the Torah, and he should never leave the Torah. And it's a Chavetz Chaim who teaches us that, which is incredible, because here he says, what about an Am Haaretz? So how is he going to come back for Trias HaMesim? Let's say his life didn't allow him to learn, or his circumstances, or his upbringing, or he only, you know, not only, let's say a person only was able to learn 15 minutes a day. It's interesting. I went to a long time ago, Rabbi Shai Shechter, say when he first got his job at the White Show as assistant rabbi. So his father, Shlita, told him, Rabbi Shai Shechter told him that your shir between Mincha Marv is the most important shir of the week. So he said it was a 15-minute shir between Mincha Marv, and he said he was very young. And his father, Shlita, told him, no, that's your most important shir. He says, why is it the most important shir? And his father said, I have to tell you, not everyone learns Gemara every day. Not everyone learns Daf Yomi. Rav Shach said he was shocked. He was young. He says, not everyone learns every day. His father said, no. Some people are balabatim, and they don't have time, and they have busy lives. But they come to shul for Mincha, and they're going to stay for Marv. So they're going to hear in between a 15-20-minute shir. He says, that's the only Torah they're going to hear the entire day. So you better put everything into that shir, because you're responsible for their limud Torah. So there are some people who talk, many, many, many hard-working, fine Jews who necessarily do not have the time to, in the fullest capacity, if they had more time, maybe they would bring the full aura of Torah to their life. So how are they going to be zocha to the resurrection of the dead? Bishchus hechzakas haTorah. And that says the Chafetz Chaim is represented in the Badim, Laseis HaSa'arbam, to carry the Aron, that those who are mechazik the Torah, the supporters of the yeshiva, the supporters of the Talmidei Chachamim, should never stop their support. This paragraph, also, that's number one. Any questions or comments?
But what about the Amhar?
So that's what he says. The Am Ha'aretz is known as not the Talmud Chacham who's sitting and learning. So he doesn't have the light of Torah. She'ein b'hem ar Torah. Gam ken yamdu l'tchia. He will be zocha. He will merit the resurrection of the dead. Bizchus hachzakas ha-Torah. Because he upheld the Torah. That's the Ba'adim. Which are never allowed to be removed. Because a supporter of Torah should never remove a support from Torah. Okay? I know someone who's a big Baal Tzedakah. Very, very big Baal Tzedakah. And this person says that they give most of the tzedakah to the yeshivos and upholding Torah. Certain organizations are more in the limelight and makes people feel good to give to those kind of organizations. Sometimes people forget that the yeshivos and the Torah institutions need to be upheld very strongly. This whole paragraph also reminded me, I guess because we're a week away from Purim, of the Megillah. Why? Why did this remind me of in the Megillah?
Well, they all took upon the Torah on Purim. As they received the Torah with Simcha, they were all...
When did they receive the Torah, Simcha?
What's that pasuk?
They took the Torah upon themselves again.
Yes.
They
yeah.
So you might be thinking of what I wanted to say.
No.
Yeah.
No, you can
say. Okay.
It.
What did you say?
I said they took upon themselves the Torah as if they were getting the Torah.
So
because they had left it, I guess.
They had
abandoned it.
So the Gemara says in Shabbos Peches, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. Is that what you're talking about? Kimu Vakiblu Aleim Va'alzara Masos Simea Pirim Eila. So they upheld and accepted upon themselves. So the Gemara says, what does that mean, Shabbos Peches, that they upheld to accept what they already accepted. We accepted the Torah by Nasa V'Nishma, Yisrael Mishpatim, and we re-accepted because 18,500 Jews went to the party. Medrash Esther Rabbah says that b'feirush, I don't have it here. But in the end, with the salvation, we re-accepted the Torah. It's all true and it's 100% correct. I was thinking of something a little bit more specific because he uses the words or Torah in this pasuk repeatedly. Artar. Five times in one sentence. So it replied to me very strongly of Maseches Megillah. Long bookmark. It's a different class. Right? So the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, I'm in Tes Zayin Amad Beis, the very famous pasuk that you all know. La Yehudim Haisa Ora, the Simcha, the Schason Vikar. It's also a pasuk that we say every week in our Havdalah as well. So the Gemara says it's a pasuk from Megillah Periches, pasuk Tes Zayin. Okay, so in Maseches Megillah, Tes Zayin Amad Beis, 16b. La Yehudim Haisa Ora, light, Simcha, joy, Sason, gladness, Vikar is translated as honor. Okay, something is precious. So the Gemara explains each of these four. This is the footnote, art school clarification. The Gemara explains of each of these four improvements. Footnote. What does that mean, improvements? Rav Yehuda interprets this verse as referring to four mitzvos Haman prohibited the Jews from performing. So after the victory, we're going to explain which four mitzvahs it was. They once again were able to perform four mitzvahs. Thus, when Haman was killed, the Jews were able to resume their observance. Haman deliberately chose these mitzvahs. They demonstrate a special connection between Israel and God. Torah is called Eidus, testimony. And you know what pasuk is quoted here? Shamos, Perichavei, Parshas Truma. And you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. What should he put into the Aron Kodesh? The Eidus. So Torah is Eidus. And he specifically chose four mitzvahs that demonstrate the close connection between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So let's see what they were able to keep once Haman was killed. La Yehudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasim V'Kar. Amar Rav Yehuda. Ora Zu. What do you think it's going to be?
Torah.
So as soon as I read this and I sat down to prepare, and it's obviously because we're a week away from Purim, maybe if it was a different season of the year, my mind wouldn't have got there. But I read Or Torah five times in one sentence, so I figured it's pretty Minas Shamayim that this is the class that is before Purim. Ora, so the Gemara says Beferish, Ora Zu Torah. What is light? Light is Torah. Footnote. Nothing, I'm just joking. Rashi, Orazu Torah, Shegazar Alein Haman Shaloya Askuba Torah. One of the gzeirus of Haman was that it wasn't just to kill them, but they should not learn Torah. By the way, that is a gzeiru of our enemy. When they had the book burning at Notre Dame in the 1100s or in the 1200s, and when the Nazis ripped apart the Sifrei Torah, made them into soles of the shoes, and when they burned the synagogues, it wasn't just against the physical annihilation of the people. But Haman, like we see, it wasn't written into the Megillah. But the Chazal tells that he also wanted to spiritually eradicate us. And how do we counteract that? Bakimu v'kibu, kibu masha kibu far. We increase the light of Torah. So Orazu Torah says, Rashi shegazar alein haman shalo yasku b'Torah. Haman decreed you cannot be osik in Torah. V'chein hu omar. And now the Gemara quotes a pasuk proving that Torah is or. Ki ner mitzvah of a Torah or. So I'm sure everybody knows that pasuk. You've heard it many, many times. It's a pasuk from Mishlei, Perek Vav, pasuk Chaf Gimel, ki ner mitzvah, a mitzvah is a candle, v'torah or, v'torah is, so how do we explain that pasuk? So if you're in the dark, one mitzvah is compared to a candle. If you're in a dark room and you light a candle, you're going to be able to see. It's not going to illuminate the whole entire room. If it's pitch black, it'll illuminate your dalet amos, maybe a little bit beyond that. But Torah as a whole picture will illuminate what? Everything, the whole room, the whole house, it's light. A candle, one mitzvah, it's geshmak, it's wonderful. It will light up your dalet amos, so maybe the person standing next to you. But if you want to fill the world with light, what you need to do is a life totally immersed in the godless, the light of Torah. Okay, so that's Ora. Layudim haisa Ora, Ora zu Torah. Ner mitzvah Torah. Or says Rashi Paro decree. So Haman decreed they cannot learn Torah. Simcha. What simcha? Simcha ze yom tov. V'chein hu omer, as the pasuk says, v'samachta b'chagecha, you shall rejoice in your festivals. That was a pasuk from Devarim, Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Yod Dalet. I just want to see something, please. If it's here, if I could read it to you. I'm taking too much time. Here it is. V'samachta b'chagecha, atu v'incha v'itecha, av'avdecha v'amascha v'alevi ger, v'ayosem v'alman asher b'sharecha. So, Chazal say that v'samachta b'chagecha, you should rejoice in your festival. Listen, you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levi, the convert, the Yasam and Amana, orphan and widow, that is in your gates. So Rashi says there, if you cause mine to rejoice, yours will rejoice. Your son, your daughter, your slave, your maidservant, that's four. The convert, the Levi, the convert, the Yasam and the Amana, that's Hashem's four. So Hashem says, if you want your four to rejoice, make sure that you include my four in your rejoicing along with you. But this pasuk is brought by the Gemara to prove that Simcha must be Chagim, v'samachta b'chagecha. Therefore, when the Torah says, when the Megillah says, La'yhudim haysa Simcha, the Jews had a Simcha, what are we referring to? We are referring to Simcha Zei Yom Tov. Okay, so Ora is Simcha is? Okay. Ner mitzvah v'Torah or. Simcha is Yom Tov v'samachta b'chagecha. Okay. Sason, sason zu mila. What is sason? Another word for rejoicing. Sason is mila. How do we know? V'cheinu omer, as David Melech says, sos anochi al imrasecha kamotzei shalom. I believe that is from Kapitel Kufiyat Tas of Tehillim. Right. Almost positive. Sas anochi al masecha kamotzei shalarav. It is okay. So interestingly, why is sas like sason mila? So this is very interesting. Listen to Rashi. Oh, by the way, Yom Tov for Simcha kimu aleim yamim tovim. Rashi is beferish that after Haman was killed, they were able to accept upon themselves again to keep the yamim tovim. Okay, zumila. I'll call Ela Gazar. Rashi says why these specific aspects, because Haman decreed against all of these. We couldn't learn Torah, we couldn't keep the Yamim Tovim, and says Rashi, we were not allowed to perform Bris Milah. So Sas Anochi Alim Rasecha, so Rashi says Zumila. This is Bris Milah. She nitna b'ma'amar v'lo b'dibur. There's different terms to use the word speech. So Milah was given b'ma'amar, not b'dibur. What does that mean? In Parag Yud Zayin, a Bereshus, when Milah is first introduced to Avraham Avinu, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Va'ata es brisi tishmer, Vayomer. It doesn't say Vayedaber, it says Vayomer. So therefore, Amira is Kmila. So Saus Anochi al Imra Secha, Sas Anochi, I rejoice Al Masach, what must be Imrasecha? Is everyone with me? What must be Imrasecha? Mila. Why? Because how did Hashem give it to Avram? Not b'dibur, but b'amira. So when David HaMelech says, I rejoice, Kapitel Kofi Tassav Tehillim, over your imrasacha, what is your imrasacha? The first mitzvah the father of the Umay Yisraelis was given was Mila. How was he given Mila? Imrasacha. So the Gemara deduces that Sas Anochi Al Imrasacha is referring to the mitzvah of Brisk Mila, which Haman did not allow us to keep. Okay, Umetzinu. Why did David rejoice over Brisk Mila? This is very interesting. By the way, you even see this idea in Bereishis itself. When Avram, Baruch of Dalet, and Chayisara sends Eliezer to find a wife, the next matriarch, he makes him put his hand where? Simna Yad Chal Yerchi. Why? So why? Because you want to swear on a davar mitzvah, and the most precious mitzvah that Avraham Avinu had was bris mila. Okay, so why umetzinusha David samach Allah? We find that David rejoiced over bris mila. Shenemar, like the pasuk says, lamnatzeich al hashminis, a song of the shminis. What shminis? Referring to the eighth day when the baby has the bris mila. That's right. Kishahaya bebeis hamerchatz. David said, "Lamnatzeich al hashminis." I don't know if he composed the kapitel while he was in the bathhouse, but in referring to his experience in the bathhouse, he said a kapitel of Tehillim, a song to the conductor on the mitzvah that is done for the 8th day. What's the mitzvah done by the 8th day? Sas Anochi al Mersecha. What's God's Mersecha on the 8th day? You should give everyone a bris mila. Kishahay bebeis hamerchatz, when he was in the house of washing, which we call the bathhouse, v'ra atzmo below Torah ubelo mitzvos. What mitzvah could you fulfill in the bathhouse? You're in a state of undress. It's not sonua. He realized that he didn't have Torah and he didn't have mitzvahs. Kevan shenistakel b'mila samach. And when he remembered his mitzvah of bris mila, he had simcha. So a Jew, a male, is never without the mitzvah of bris mila. Avraham Avinu made Eliezer swear on the most precious mitzvah, simna yad chatechas yerchi. Yaakov Avinu does the exact same thing. Al natik berein b'mitzrayim. And he calls Yosef in. So here you see, so the Gemara says, after that whole long exploration, how simcha, how sason equals mila. Got it? Sas anoch, so sason is mila. Why? Because Rashi says, under the word mila, I'll call Ela Gazar. Hamad and I'll let them keep, first of all, Torah, Lima Torah, which is or. Second of all, Yom Tov. Yom Tov is samachta bechagecha, simcha must be Yom Tov. So I hope when you get up to this pasuk in the Megillah and you say it to yourself, I'm talking to myself also. Remember, today's shiur, we should have some idea of what we're reading. The Megillah has so many layers of meaning. It is a Megillah of Hester. It's a Megillah where the message is really hidden. On the Pshah, it seems to be this, you know, someone said to me last week in the response to the in-depth, I'm teaching a six-part in-depth text-based shiur on Megillah's Esther. It's really fascinating. So one of the women said to me last week, you know, I never really knew the Megillah. I always thought it was just like this cute story. There's so much going on here. So when we get to this pasuk, we should all remember what we are reaffirming. Haman wanted to stop us cloning Torah. We light up the whole world with Torah. It's not a nair that lights up your immediate dalat amos. Simcha. Right after Purim, we start preparing for Pesach. Remember that we could not always keep these mitzvos with just joy. V'samachta b'chagecha. Says Hashem, if you cause my four to rejoice, ha-levi, ha-ger, ha-yasum, v'almana, I will cause your four to rejoice. Bin chavitecha, avdecha, v'amasecha. Finally, sason is mila. Sason ochi al imrasecha, because mila, the first mitzvah to Avram, is given with ma'amar and not dibur. Why does it cause David HaMelech to rejoice? Because he realized that even if he doesn't have tefillin, and even if he doesn't have the Mitzvah, he can't tell Dvar Torah in the bathhouse, and he can't shake Lulav and Esrog in the bathhouse. What does he always have? Bris Mila, says Rashi. Very interesting. V'yikar, finally, Elu Tefillin. These are Tefillin. V'cheinu Omar, as the Pasuk says, V'ra'u u'kal amei ha'aretz. This is so interesting, because what was the next thing we read after our Torah in the Pasuk, in the Chafetz Chaim, he speaks about the Amei Ha'aretz. So here, the last mitzvah, the pasuk is the proof of the Amei Ha'aretz. And I'm going to tell you a word about the Amei Ha'aretz, also related to the Megillah. So one second. V'cheinu Omar, as the pasuk says, V'ra'u kol Amei Ha'aretz, K'shem Hashem Nikra Lecha, all the nations of the earth, literally, today we use an Amei Ha'aretz to refer to someone who's an ignoramus, that all the nations of the earth will see, K'shem Hashem Nikra Lecha, that the name of God is called upon you, V'yaru Mimecha, and they will fear you, they will be in awe of you. Excuse me. So the footnote in Art School says, Haman decreed the Jews may not don tefillin. So the verse informs us, after Haman's death, they were able to form the resumption of tefillin. It doesn't say that beferush, knir, and Rashi, but it must be when it says, Rashi says, I'll call Ela Gazar. I'll call the Ela Gazar, so the whole earth will see that the name of God is called upon us, possibly Vikar Nikra. I'm not sure, the Gemara doesn't say. Listen to what I'm saying. How would we learn out Vikar is tefillin from the pasuk that the Gemara quotes? V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz, all the nations of the earth will see halavai. We should. Mm-hmm. We find the Zocha to this fulfillment. We direly need it. Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. How do they see the name of God is called upon you? So if you look at the word Nikra, and you look at the word Vikar, you know that the root is the same. The name of God is called upon you when they see the Jew donning their tefillin. And I remember when I was in Auschwitz, when I visited Auschwitz, I mentioned this, my grandfather's Yahrzeit. He writes about how they gathered in the barracks after a hard day of slave labor to daven Ne'ilah with a minyan. And he writes about how in Budzin, they made a kitchen so to cook soup. Whoever didn't want to eat leaven did not have to eat leaven. He was a Talmud in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. His daughter was named after Shiras Devorah, Parshas Beshalach, the prophetess Devorah. And I remember when I visited Auschwitz after Mechala, it was a long time ago. I was probably too young to appreciate fully the experience, but I don't know if I would ever have had the opportunity again. And it's obviously something that has stuck with me in a very profound way. But they have different collections of things that Jews brought with them to the camps. Rachman al-San, they didn't know exactly, not everyone knew where they were going. And there was one case full of talisim. And I was completely overcome, even at the time. I was a young girl. I was completely overcome. The whole trip was very, very difficult. And I remember I just like slid down to the floor against the wall, and I just could not stop crying. And even I was so young, but I thought that's what they brought on their final journey, to wrap themselves in their talis for their time of tefillah. So when will the earth see that the name of God is called upon us? So they will recognize Nikra Allah Viyakar Elu Tefillin. Rabbi Eliezer Gadol says, Elu tefillin shebarosh. These are the tefillin of the head. Tefillin bring honor because they invoke fear of the nations of the world. So when I read five times, the Chavetz Chaim is talking about the Or Torah that is Mechayehu, and the truth is that Knesset Yisrael had a spiritual resurrection at the time of Purim. It wasn't just that we were physically saved. We already quoted, I don't have the Medrash Rabbah Esther in front of me, but the Medrash says, Beferush, the 18,500 Jews went to the party of the king, and the manager says that Mordechai sat outside and he screamed to them and he said, don't go. This is for your bad. They just want to destroy you. That's what the manager says. And they went. So not only did we have, and that's something that we should remember when we celebrate Purim, it's such a physical Yom Tov. It's the Mishloach Manos, and it's food. It's wonderful. And the Su'uda, and it's food, and the drinking, and it's physical, and the costumes, and it's such a day of physicality. Now we have to remember it's Yom Kippurim. It's not only a day of physicality. What do you mean it's Yom Kippurim? It's the exact opposite of Purim, of Yom Kippur. One is totally spiritual, and one is totally physical. But really, under the surface, what they wanted to destroy was the physical. But what they managed to also destroy was our spirituality, which is why Haman came upon us. With the Yeshua, we see that what we saved, when we say the Pasuk, La'ihudim Haisa, Ora, V'simcha, V'sasam, V'ikar, Haman wanted to eradicate the Or Torah. Of Samachta Bechagacha, the Sason of Mila, the David Melech said, wow, if I have no other mitzvah on me, at least I have this mitzvah. And finally, the Vikra, the Tefillin, and these are the marking of a Jew, and it's something we should always take tremendous pride in. And we remember that that's really the celebration of Purim. It comes to expression through many physical mitzvos, but it is a celebration of a spiritual Tchias Amazim of a nation that was very sick. We thought we belonged at the party, and we thought it was the place to be, and the Megillah says, Beferish, from the Tzechas Megillah, taught in that other class, that Haman, that Achashverosh was wearing the big day kahuna, the kelim mikelim shonim, and he was serving goblets from the Beis Hamikdash, the wine. That's why the Gemara says he was zocha to kilyon, destruction ultimately, because kelim and kilyon, the kelim were goblets or vessels, kilyon means destruction. But the Jews went there and they watched the king paraded in the big day kahuna. This week's parshas Tetzava, and they saw the golden goblets and the implements used, and they went to the party. So what resurrected them? With the destruction of our enemy, it was the re-acceptance, which is what you ladies said first, kimu masha kibul kfar. We should at least have, it's such a hectic day. You want to get to here, you want, this kid wants to go to that teacher, this kid wants to go to that, Rebbe. The traffic, Baruch Hashem, in Farbach. Then you text all the people you didn't manage to get to, and I really wanted to come and I was thinking about you, and the su'uda, and the preparation, and it's wonderful, we're fulfilling the mitzvahs of the day, but don't forget what the ultimate underlying theme, that it is a Yom Kippurim. And it was the spiritual victory of Knesset Yisrael. She'ein b'hem or Torah, gam kein yamdu l'tchias b'shchus hachzachas ha-Torah. Even the Amei Ha'aretz, and I said I'm going to tell you a var on the Amei Ha'aretz, related to what we're learning, and related to Purim, because the Chavetz Chaim says, like you asked for clarification, even the Am Ha'aretz, he who is not learned in Torah, will be zocha t'chias ha-meisim, if he's like the Badim, if he supports Torah. So you give to your base Knesset, you know, it's maybe not the most romantic type of tzedakah, or in your face, you know. Maybe they don't have the annual barbecues and they don't have a Chinese akhm, but you just, you know, you sponsor something in the shul or in the yeshiva, so you're like the poles. So the Chavetz Chaim says, why do the poles never come out if the whole iron represents Torah? The poles represent the hachzakas ha-Torah, and that, putting those two parts of the Chavetz Chaim together, that's Chavetz Chaim on the parsha. That's your ticket. So interestingly, because the Megillah also quoted the last pasuk. Ooh, you having a good time? Baruch Hashem. Amazing. Torah's amazing. Mamash amazing. The last. Oh, it's going to be so beautiful. Are you excited? So just tell us already. So amazing how it's going to come together. The last pasuk the Gemara quoted, the Ikar is tefillin, because the pasuk says, V'ra'u, did I tell you where this pasuk is from? By the way, it's from Devar, Baruch Hav Ches Pasuk Yud. V'ra'u kol Amei Ha'aretz, Kishem Hashem Nikra Lacha. So the four pasukim began with Ner Mitzvah Torah Ar, Chavetz Chaim begins with Torah Ar, and the Chavetz Chaim ends with Amei Ha'aretz, and the last pasuk in the Gemara ends with Amei Ha'aretz. The whole nations of the earth will see that the name of God is Nikra, and we said possibly Nikra v'Yikar. Therefore, from the Kuf Resh, they know that God is over us, and they are fearful of you. Well, there is also a pasuk in the Megillah that uses the term Amei Ha'aretz. Who remembers what it is? Oh, I'm so excited. Are you having a good time? Welcome back. Could you help me? Right. Thank you. Okay. V'rabim me'amei ha'aretz misyahadim ki nafal pachal ha'yehudim aleihem. Remember that pasuk?
Say again.
No. V'rabim me'amei ha'aretz misyahadim v'rabim me'amei ha'aretz mityahadim ki nafal pachal ha'yehudim aleihem ki nafal pachal ha'yehudim aleihem. Many of the amei ha'aretz mityahadim. How would you translate mityahadim? We're converting, we're becoming Jewish, because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. So what happened? The Jews were supposed to be killed. And v'nahafachu, Hashem could turn over our mazel in a minute. He should save us, because it could go both ways. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to be killed. Instead, Haman and his sons were hung on the tree. And of course, we weren't killed, and we were saved. And therefore, kimu v'kiblu, la'yusos ha'yam ha'ela mishta simcha yom tov, aleim v'alzaram. So a few Shavuos ago, maybe two or three, I don't remember which Shavuos he was there, but Moshe Tzvi Weinberg was on the Shavuos program with us. Why you read Shavuos Yarchei Kala? He's a rabbi in Tinak. You know what I'm talking about? Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, yeah. No, oh, very, very popular. Rav Magid Shir, he's a mashpia at YU, and he's in Tinak, I believe. Anyway, Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg said a beautiful work calling the Alchemy Amlois. It's going to tie the whole shir together, geshmak. Okay, the last thing Chavetz Chaim said is, in the sentence, two sentences, the Am Ha'aretz will merit Chias HaMeisim if he holds up the Torah. We tie that into the Chavetz Chaim in Aron Kodesh, where the Chavetz Chaim, the same Mechaber of the Sefer, says elsewhere that what do the Badim represent? The holding up of Torah. So if you want a portion of Torah, but you're not a Talmid Chacham, you're not a Gadol Dor. You didn't have a Jewish education. People come to learn with me who went to public school. And Baruch Hashem, now they're coming later in life. One woman said to me, you're the Jewish education I never received. She's a Kanaina or a grandmother. She's not my age, older woman. If you hold up Torah, you should never leave the Torah. Then we saw that the Gemara was expanding on four different psukim as related to the four mitzvos, Haman abolished, that the Jews accepted upon themselves the light of Torah, the gladness of Yom Tov, the rejoicing of Mila, and the preciousness of Tefillin. And the pasuk to prove the preciousness of Tefillin was Ra'u kol am ve'ra'u kol amei haaretz ki ra'amei haaretz k'shem Hashem nikra alacha v'yarmi mekach. Now, the Megillah says by the end of the Megillah, Rabim me amei haaretz mityahadim misyadim kinafa pachal yehudim aleim. Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg quoted, wasn't last Shavuos for sure, and I don't think it was the Shavuos before, and I think it might have been the one before. So it was probably Shavuos 2017. Called the Alkum Me'am Lois. I don't remember anything else they spoke about in that year, but it's such a geschmack var. Mamish ties the whole thing together. In the beginning of the Megillah, we see that the Jews were becoming assimilated, and they were going to the party, and that's why this Rachman al-Tzon, this terrible decree came upon them. At the end of the story, we re-accepted the Torah, we re-accepted the mitzvos, we had a spiritual Tchias HaMeisim. So the Alkum Me'am Lois teaches, V'rabim me ame ha'aretz mityahadim. Mityahadim, what do you think I'm going? Where do you think I'm going? It literally means, pshat, many of the people of the earth converted because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. But think of it in a pshat, based on our shir today. V'rabim me ame ha'aretz mityahadim.
No,
go, try.
They turned around, they're going to support.
What?
They decided to support Torah.
So who are the Amei Haaretz?
The ones that went to the party.
The Jews.
The Jews, right.
The Jews. Moshe Tzvi Weinberg said that the Alkum Me'am Lois teaches, Rabbi Mei Amei Haaretz Misyahadim. The pshat is many of, like the Erevah, they wanted to convert. The deeper understanding, remember, we said the Megillah's layers, layers, layers. On the pshat, it just seems like someone said to me last week, Shemam Rishad, she says, you know, look at our age. She said, I never understood the Megillah. I just thought it was a cute story. It's a Megillah of Hester. Everything is hidden. Not just Hashem is hidden. Everything is hidden. Esther's identity is hidden. The Jews' reacceptance of Torah is hidden. The shame of Hashem is hidden. Everything in there is hidden. So we got the main group at 1 o'clock, Baz Hashem, on the power of the Koach of Tefillah, and it's how Tefillah is so much part of the Megillah. You don't see anything besides for Vayizak Zakal Gadol Amara. The Chazal uncover whole other layers. V'Rabbi Mei Amei Haaretz Misyahadim. The Jews themselves, who had become Amei Haaretz, who wanted to be like the people of the earth, who threw off the yoke of Torah, who were not interested in Torah learning, and who were not interested in supporting Torah, who rejoiced in the fact that Haman took away these mitzvahs. Great, I don't have to be burdened with Limud Torah, I don't have to be burdened with Mila, I don't have to be burdened with our Jews today. I just read in the Jewish Action talking about assimilation. There are Rachman Son Jews today who say that Mila is barbaric, and today what they're in America, they cut a pomegranate. It's not a joke, because it bleeds. So I don't have to do Mila, I don't have to put on my tefillin every day. Who has time for this? Rabbi Me Amei Haaretz Misyahadim. It was the Jews who had thrown off the yoke of Torah who came back to Yahadus. Ki nafal pachar ha-Yehudim aleihem. And it's so interesting. V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz, k'shem Hashem nikra alacha, v'yaru mimecha, k'nafa pachad ha'yehudim aleihem. They recognized, they had an awe, they had a reverence. V'yaru mimecha, they will fear from you. They will be in awe. Not so much terror, not so much fear, but recognizing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is above us. There's only one true way. And which is it? Not the way of Haman, and not the way of our enemies. The only way we will have ora, simcha, sasam, vikar is embracing our heritage, remembering our Messiah, and knowing that Purim is really a Yom Kippurim. It is not a day of pure physicality. Adaraba. Through the physicality, we have to know that's a hidden layer. Underneath is all the Ruchnias. So, Baruch Hashem, we did two sentences, but I think that there was so much lessons and messages replete here, so relevant to our Yom Tov that is upon us. So let's just read through those two sentences again before we go to the halacha. Hine yadua lakol, masha amr chazal, ala pasuk. Behold, it's known to everyone. What the sages say on the verse, tal oros talecha, your dew is the dew of light, referring to Yisrael Funa, referring to Chiyas HaMesim, kol mishyesh vado or Torah, or Torah mechayel tchias klamesim. You better make sure you have the Yudim Haisa Ora. Ora is a Torah if you want to have resurrection of the dead. V'chol misha ein biyado or Torah, if he doesn't have or Torah, ein or Torah mechayel. So you're not going to have the light to bring you back. So then, umikol makom maskinim sham. However, the conclusion of the Gemara there is, da'afilu ameha aretz. So at the very least, if you don't feel you're a Talmud Chacham and you don't feel you're able to uphold the Torah and you never had the education that you wanted or the circumstances of your life, or the only shiur you can get to is the 15 minutes between Mincha and Maariv, and that's all you right now at this point, if you can't commit to more, make sure to uphold the Torah, whether it's your base Knesses, whether it's the base Medrash, whether it's the Yeshiva. With that, the poles should never leave, and this is really the essence of the Yom Tov of Purim, when we're so busy with the Gosh mystic celebrations and you're fulfilling the mitzvah, so we don't recommend that you don't do those things. Don't forget that it is a very much spiritual Yom Tov of Kimu v'Kiblu Masha Kiblu Kfar, the Shmak. Any questions or comments? Amazing. Prefatory remarks. Isn't it amazing how that paragraph is like mamish, like when you look at the Gemara, I don't know how Hashem arranged it, that we got to the Perek Yud Gimel, Erev Purim, and when you look at the Gemara and the Lashon and the message, it's all there. Okay, prefatory, you have a question?
No.
You have a question? Prefatory remarks. We have seen a derogatory statement about someone is not to be believed as fact, even for a constructive purpose. One is to take the necessary precautions without changing his attitude towards struggle. And something that we spoke about, I find this very difficult. I'm not on that. We should strive to be on such a madriga that if you hear something negative, well, you have to take caution. You're not allowed to change your attitude of the person. Very difficult. We've also learned to cause another Jew to transgress is to violate the prohibition of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol, before a blind person who should not put a stumbling block. You see my little chumash? No, I didn't bring it. Doesn't matter. Okay, that's from Kedoshim. Consequently, when one relates negative information for a constructive purpose, he must be careful not to cause the listener to sin by believing the information's fact. So, I do not have a sefer shkmos because I didn't bring it. But Parak Chav Gimel Pasuk Aleph in Parshas Mishpatim. It's the third parak of Parshas Mishpatim. Very lengthy parsha. Many, many, many mitzvos of nezikin damages. Parachav Gimel Pasuk Aleph says, Lo Sisa Shema Shav, we shall not accept a false report. And Rashi says there, this is an Azhara L'mekabel Lashon Hara. Isn't that interesting? So we're all well versed in the famous Lo Seleich Achil B'Mechav and Parashas Kedoshim. I just quote from Parashas Kedoshim. Where a much less, that's a mitzvah not to be a speaker or a gossip monger. There is a mitzvah de oraisa, parachav gimel pasuk av shamos, lo sisa shem hashav, and Rashi says, it's an azhar, it's a warning to be, not to be mikabel lashon hara. That's a different prohibition. Two different prohibitions. One, don't speak lashon hara. One, do not accept a slanderous report. And that's exactly what I just quoted here. He doesn't quote the Pasuk, but this is what he's saying with the Rashi. Consequently, when one relates negative information for a constructive purpose, you must be careful that you don't cause your listener to sin by relieving the information as fact. By believing the information is fact. The proper way to convey negative information for a constructive purpose is to preface it with a statement such as, don't take my word for it, I may be mistaken, but take the matter seriously. Listen, G'day ben Achikam didn't take it seriously. Well, we can take it seriously, but we also are not allowed to change our opinion of someone else. One more. We have learned speaking negatively for the sake of one's own emotional well-being is acceptable form of constructive speech. We quoted from by Weitz, I say it all the time, you're allowed to vent to a close confidant. It is reasonable to express anger and frustration about an individual to a parent, know, a child comes to you crying and don't all of a sudden say, and they're really in pain and they need to get off of the stress. This just actually happened to me yesterday with one of my children about somebody else. So it's not the time to say it's Lashon Hara, it's Lashon Hara. The child's in pain. They're turning to you. Of course, you don't need to post it online and you don't need to go tell everybody and don't blow it out of proportion, but it is reasonable to express anger and frustration to one's parent, spouse, or mentor about another individual for sympathy, reassurance, or advice. If only of the obligation of the listener, it is the obligation of the listener to provide support. However, even in such situations, the listener may not decide in his own mind the report is true. So in other words, me listening, all my children are over bar and bat mitzvah, me listening, I'm not allowed to believe anything negative and that it's true, even while I allow my child to vent their frustrations. Because as far as I am concerned, the information is secondhand. It's very hard. You're walking a very fine line. It's imperative that the following understanding exists between the two parties. Halacha permits one to let off steam occasionally, express frustrations. However, it's obvious the one who is involved in a disagreement to the point of anger or considers himself the victim of verbal abuse lacks the ability to be objective, right? Is it, can you be objective when you perceive that you were really wrong, or not perceive, you were wrong? Any negativity expressed is to be understood as a description of the speaker's feelings and may not accurately reflect what took place. So I wasn't there. I didn't see. This is your feeling. And I must validate your feeling. But in my mind, if you weren't there, if I'm telling to myself, if I was there, do I really know what happened? Think about it. It helps us to remain objective. I wasn't there. I didn't see. I don't really know what happened. These are your feelings. While I validate them in my mind, I can believe that might not be true because I didn't see the event. In this way, a husband and wife or close friends can, yes, rely on one another for emotional support without transgressing the laws of proper speech. So when you remember that if you didn't see it, that's why you can't accept the testimony of a witness secondhand. That's why even for the moon, they put you in two different rooms. The moon. So when I'm talking about another person, the moon doesn't have feelings. So I'm talking about another person. If I wasn't there, do I actually know what happened? What's the answer? No, I don't know what happened. And any reasonable person can understand that if I didn't see with my own eyes, I don't know. So I could validate my spouse, my child, parent, close siblings, feelings of frustration. You're supposed to allow them to vent, but at the same time, I have to tell Michal, you weren't there, so you don't know what happened. So with that, I wish everybody a meaningful, uplifting, spiritual, Torah-filled Freilichim Purim.